You are listening to BensTorah.com.
One of the most difficult things to understand, and that's Parshas Ki Sisa, where you have the chosen people of Hashem, the Amanivchar, Klal Yisrael, who experienced an experience of standing at Har Sinai, hearing HaKadosh Baruch Hu talk to them face to face, giving them the Aseres HaDibros. Our Chazal tell us that while they were Har Sinai, in order to hear Hashem talking to them and hear Hashem talking to Moshe Rabbeinu, one of the Spanish Baalei Tosfos, the Rashba, in his Shelos and Shuvah says that Klal Yisrael were given a one-time experience of having their spiritual attendants sensitized to be able to hear the voice of Hashem audibly and hear Hashem talking to them, hear Hashem talking to Moshe Rabbeinu, so they can give Eidos testimony of what Hashem told them personally, Har Sinai, and what in turn Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu in the presence of Klal Yisrael, where he basically authorized Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai to be the only authorized prophet in world history, to have the right to disseminate to the Jewish people what is in the Tayag Mitzvahs, to basically give over to Klal Yisrael all the other Tayag Mitzvahs, to give over to Klal Yisrael the Torah Shel Baal Peh, besides the Torah Shel Biksav. The only authorized agent to do such at that time was Moshe Rabbeinu, and Klal Yisrael heard Hashem tell Moshe, Moshe, this is for you, a task I'm giving to you. No other prophet after you will ever have the ability to counter what you say or to contradict what you're saying. You are the only authorized disseminator of the entire Torah. And that's why when it comes to the event of Maimon Har Sinai, one of the distinct statements that the Torah mentions is going to be accomplished by Maimon Har Sinai is the expression Ubecha Yaminu Olam, that Klal Yisrael will have a belief in the trustworthiness and the emesdekait of what Moshe Rabbeinu tells us at Har Sinai. We will believe and know that this comes directly from Hashem, because he's the only authorized agent that's allowed to disseminate all of the Torah Shel Biksav and Torah Shel Baal-Peh to the Jewish people for generations to come. The lashon of the Torah is Ubecha, in you, Yaminu L'Olam, they will always have trust and emuna that whatever you told them came directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, Chazal tell us that the same voice that they heard on Har Sinai, in which Hashem addressed them and addressed Moshe Rabbeinu, later on when Klal Yisrael left Har Sinai, and for the next 40 years, Moshe gave daily shiurim in Torah, teaching the Jewish people all of the Torah. Each and every day he gave a shiur, which people attended, both men and women, you should know. That's why the Benot Zalavchad were at Moshe Rabbeinu's shiurim that he gave. That at that time, when Moshe spoke, Chazal say, based upon a Kabbalistic medrash, that they heard from Moshe's mouth the same voice they heard Hashem address Moshe Rabbeinu with at Har Sinai, as if to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu medaber mitoch grono shel Moshe. When Moshe gave over the Torah in the next 40 years, it's as if God was speaking through Moshe's throat to the Jewish people. So they were able to correlate the voice of Hashem at Har Sinai with the voice of Moshe Rabbeinu for the next 40 years. They heard the similarities, the tone of the voice, and the nature of the voice, to realize Moshe is merely serving as the conduit to give over to the Jewish people all of the Divrei Hashem in Torah Shel Biksav and Torah Shel Baal-Peh. Therefore, Moshe Emes v'Taras Emes is a very famous song we sing continuously. Even Korach v'Hadassa, who were destroyed because of questioning Moshe's emesdekait and his mission, when they were finally punished, one of the things they do in Gehenna, and some people heard this later on in a hole that was opened in the Midbar, where Korach v'Hadassa were basically swallowed up, Somebody showed the person a hole in the ground where this took place, and when they put the ear to the hole, they heard Kodesh Hakodashim screaming out, Moshe Emes v'Teros Emes. We admit now we made a mistake. We made a tremendous mistake questioning the efficacy of what Moshe Rabbeinu taught us. So the fact of the matter is, this Klal Yisrael experience, a one-time experience in Jewish history, that the Rabbeinu Shalom is the only God that exists. He's the God that addressed us at Har Sinai and made us into the chosen people. He gave us over his Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebapeh. Moshe is the only authorized agent to be the disseminator of all of this information for all generations to come. All of this was concretized and seen by Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai. And the big problem is, 40 days later, when Moshe went up to Mekabel HaTorah and didn't come down at the time they thought he would come down, to think that Moshe died, Moshe was taken away, and then all of a sudden, Parshas Ki Sisa, we have Klal Yisrael, it seems, coming to rebel and telling Aaron HaKohen, let's make an Egel HaZav instead of what we had up until now. That Klal Yisrael should start all of a sudden worshipping of Avodah Zarah and forgetting their experience at Har Sinai. So the guy said to us, what kind of people are you, the Jewish people? If you claim you experienced what you experienced in Har Sinai, and God spoke to you directly, and he performed miracles at Har Sinai in front of your eyes, how in the world can you think of, even if Moshe didn't come down, that you should switch gods and start worshipping an Egel HaZav? I mean, who are you? What are you doing? Well, you're nuts, you're crazy. How can you basically take something you saw and experienced, and you had 3 million men, women, and children staying here, seeing this, and all of a sudden you throw that away, and you want to worship this golden calf which you made? It doesn't make any sense. It is simply incomprehensible. That's the question they threw against us. So why should you be the Aman Ivchar? And they called us other names which I will not mention publicly. To add to the quandary over here, let us not forget, Tommy does, that when Klal Yisrael exited from Egypt, it didn't happen overnight. They experienced, together with the Egyptians, the Eser Makos for 12 months. Each Mako lasted for a month, as I explained in one of the early Shurim we had together. So they experienced Makos in Mitzrayim, which changed the natural law of the time when these makas were administered. Literally, there was a Shina HaTeva. According to the Haggadah, there were more than 10 makas that they experienced in Mitzrayim. They then experienced once again the miracles at Kriyas Yamsuf, where Hashem split the waters into 12 parts and saw miracles upon miracles, incredible miracles they experienced in Kriyas Yamsuf, things Shalevet Derech HaTeva. They experienced when they left Mitzrayim, the Nani HaKavod, the clouds of glory that encompassed them on all six sides, protecting them from the elements of natural law they were confronting. They also experienced the Be'er Mayim, the well of Miriam that accompanied the Midbar, so they always would have a plenty of water to take care of millions and millions of people. They also experienced Man coming down in Hashamayim, literally feeding them each and every day with the exact amount they needed to survive. They saw all of these miracles. They experienced all these miracles orchestrated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And because Moshe didn't come down on day 40, when day 40 is supposed to come down, they throw Moshe away and they throw Hashem away and they worship an Egel HaZav. How in the world can we comprehend it? It's something that's simply incomprehensible. It doesn't make sense. And I think everybody listening to this year will realize, if you really are emistic and you ask the question, it is one of the most difficult phenomena to be able to reconcile based upon human experience. Besides those specific two questions, and these are very, very big questions, we now come to another problem. When it came to punishment of the Egel HaZav, the Torah tells us only 3,000 people were ultimately killed, but there were, in fact, 3 million people, men, women, and children, who supposedly were involved in this rebellion of the Egel HaZav. Why were 3,000 killed and the rest of the people were kept alive? We got to understand this. What's going on over here? How do we understand this type of differentiation? The next question we have, which is a very, very important question, is that if you look in the Chumash, Aaron HaKayin was involved when he was asked by the people to create the Negel Hazav. He was involved in helping create and construct this golden calf. How in the world did Avraham have the willingness to participate in making an object that's classified as Avodah Zarah? Avodah Zarah comes under those Averis upon which there's a halacha of Yehareg Vahayavar. There's a question of Yehareg Vahayavar. And if that's the case, it's a question of Yehareg Vahayavar. You have to give your life rather than violate. How did Aaron allow himself to be a participant in the creation of the Egel Hazav? And even worse than that, there's a Gemara at the end of Menachos that tells us any Kohen, or lady for that matter, that's involved with idolatry in the course of their historical experience of Avodas Hashem, they worship Avodah Zarah instead, once they've done that chet, even if they later on have charata, and they do tshuva miyava, which I taught you in the past, eradicates the entire sin, the halacha, which the Gemara says in Menachos, is that Kohen and Levi could never, ever serve as a servitor in the Beis HaMikdash, be makriv kabanos, taking care of Avodas HaMikdash. If Aaron was involved, how could he ever become a Kohen? But even worse, how could he become the Kohen Gadol, the greatest of the Kohenim? That halacha that once the Kohen's involved in idolatry should have passed him from that specific activity forever. But nevertheless, we see it didn't happen. This is a major question. We have to understand it. We have to comprehend it. The next question that's posed by Chazal. Hashem wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to Malamed Zchus on Klal Yisrael. As the Gemara explains in Masechtas Brachos, he wanted Moshe to serve as their attorney, to defend them, to justify, explain what they did in their kavanos. When Moshe was mespalat Hashem for the forgiveness of the Jewish people, what expression did Moshe say? He said to Hashem, Ki amcha hagoy hagadol hazeh. Your nation, this is your nation, this great nation. What do you mean the great nation? This great nation just quite obviously worshipped Avodah Zarah. They didn't show that they're your amcha. They seem to give over their allegiance to some foreign entity called the Negel Hazav. How can Moshe use that as the defense? Ki amcha, your nation, is Goy HaGadol Hazeh, this great nation. And furthermore, how did Hashem answer Moshe Rabbeinu? Hashem said to Moshe after the tefillah, Osalachti kidvarecha. I'm going to give them forgiveness according to the statements you made, Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm going to grant them divine forgiveness for this sin. What's going on over here? I mean, what did Moshe say? Moshe is saying, I'm going to there, is contradicting what they did. And all of Hashem says, oh, what a defense. I'm going to forgive them. What's going on over here? It doesn't seem to be comprehensible. And finally, the last questions I'm going to pose, before I come to the answer over here, is a very interesting question. In the sequence of Parshios in the Torah and Parshios Shemos, last week we had Kisisa, we then have Parshios Vayakel, and ultimately Parshios Pekudei. Vayakel Pekudei describe exactly how the Mishkan was built, all the kelim, all the vessels, all the clothing, how everybody was inaugurated into the actual service, is a description of the ultimate Midrash and everything that's contained in it coming into reality, into existence, and who made it, and how it was constructed. So Chazal tell us the Parshas of the Torah come in normally some type of sequential order. Hashem wanted Kisisa to be followed by Vayakel Pekudei. And based upon that smichus, that connection, Chazal say in a medrash that the construction of the Mishkan and all that's contained therein served as a kapara for the chait of the Egel Hazav, serving as an expiation of the sin for the Egel Hazav. So we have to understand, how does the building of the Mishkan make up for their worshipping an Egel Hazav? What's the kapara? What's the connective link? And what's even more suspicious and even stranger is that the Talmud Yerushalmi in Masechet Shkalim tells us of all the various utensils that were in the Mishkan, the one that was the ultimate kapara for the chet of the Egel Hazav was none other than the Aron HaKodesh and the kaparas with the Keruvim. That specific appurtenance, that very, very important holy kli, was the ultimate kapara for the sin of the Egel Hazav for generations to come. So you have to ask yourself the question, what is the way that the Aron HaKodesh, more than anything else, serves as the ultimate kapara for the chait of the Egel Hazav? These are a lot of questions, and I think everybody listening will shake your head and say, these are excellent questions. These questions have to be answered. We just can't go away and just say it happened and forget about it. We have to understand how all of these questions can justify later on that Moshe and Aaron maintained their positions, Aaron became the Kohen Gadol, most of Klal Yisrael survived, we built the Mishkan, there was a Kapara. What's going on over here? And how could Klal Yisrael b'chlal have a Havamina to make an Egel Hazav after they spoke to Hashem face to face at Har Sinai and witnessed all the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim and the living in the Midbar and Kriyas Yamsuf and all the miracles they saw at Har Sinai? What is going on over here? I think everybody would agree we have to have a good answer. Am I correct? Everybody agree we need a good answer? I bet your boots you do. So I'm going to share with you today what I feel is one of the most best terutzim ever given by the Gedolei Yisrael on this specific topic. When you hear this answer, Talmidos, it will open your eyes, open your heart, to realize that there's much more in understanding the Chumash and just reading the Psukim, but you have to come to Teira Shabbat to really understand exactly what's going on behind the scenes. And the Gadol I'm going to be quoting this morning, whose teretz I'm using, was one of the greatest Gedolim that existed in the late 1800s. His name was Rav Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik. He was called by his Sfarim the Beis Halevi, the House of Levi, since he came, he was a Levite. And he was the forerunner of the famous Briska dynasty. His son was Rav Chaim of Brisk, Soloveitchik. Later on, all of the children of the Briska dynasty, the Briska Rav, Rav Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik, and Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, and later on, the Gedolim of Brisk, having the Brisk Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and my Rebbe Rav Seitz Soloveitchik, Rav Yitzchak Zev, Halevi Soloveitchik, that's named after his great-grandfather, who was a Rosh Yeshiva that I had, in your Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan, all the Gedolim from the Briska dynasty emanated from the greatness of this Beis Halevi. He, as a Rosh Yeshiva, was one of the last Rosh Yeshivas of the Volozhiny Yeshiva in Russia, which at that time was the most prestigious yeshiva in the entire world. The amount of Gedolim that emanated from that yeshiva are simply incredible. His Kol Rosh Yeshiva towards the end of Volozhiny Yeshiva's existence was the famous Netziv, Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. They were contemporaries, they ran the yeshiva together. So we're dealing with one of the major Gedolei Hadar of yesteryear, that's Hashpa, is still in existence to this very day. And therefore, I want you to therefore know that based upon this, I'm going to give you his answer to all of these questions. Listen to his Mahalach, listen to what he has to say, because you're going to find this fascinating and interesting and very, very powerful when it comes to what really happened behind the scenes. And I guarantee you what he says will answer, believe it or not, all the very powerful questions I asked up until this point in time. So if that's the case, listen very carefully, as I quite obviously shared with you what he says. Everybody ready? Did I whet your appetite? Listen carefully to what this Gadol said. What the Beis HaLevi says is the following. He points out, if you look at Moshe Rabbeinu's existence as becoming the manag of Klal Yisrael, of being the redeemer of the Jewish people, as serving Hashem's agent, his shliach, to get the Jews to be redeemed and to lead them in the Midbar, to become the ultimate teacher of the Torah to Klal Yisrael, the Torah Tzivolano Moshe, Marosha Kilas Yaakov, he was the one who was authorized to be Mos and give over the Torah to Klal Yisrael of all generations to come. Moshe was Makabel Torah Misinai, Kola Tera Kula, and gave it over to us. So this Moshe Rabbeinu, besides being a good Rebbe, besides being a good Baal Hashkafa and a good mentor and a role model, Chazal tell us Moshe served another functional role as well that was mission critical. He served as the conduit, as the medium in which Klal Yisrael communicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in turn communicated to the Jewish people. He was the vehicle, he was the entity that served as the middleman, as the entity that Hashem spoke to, and then told Moshe, give over this message, information to Klal Yisrael. When Klal Yisrael had a question from the Rabbeinu Shalom, they told Moshe what their question is. And Moshe in turn brought back the question of Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and gave over the messages Klal Yisrael had to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'chvodo v'yatzmo. So Moshe was a major entity in the communication between Hashem and Klal Yisrael in that period of time. When Moshe came up to Har Sinai, he stayed there 40 days, 40 nights, but he did not come down on the time of the end of the 40 days, 40 nights, according to Klal Yisrael's cheshbon. They came to the conclusion, and the Sutton contributed to this, that for some reason Moshe is no longer here, Moshe died, and they were put in a crisis mode. What was the crisis mode? Klal Yisrael said to themselves, if Moshe is no longer here, how are we going to communicate directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We no longer have a Moshe Rabbeinu to be the communicative entity between us and the Rabbeinu Shalom and the Rabbeinu Shalom and us. We're lost. Forget about him not being the teacher and being the redeemer, but who's going to serve now as the conduit to connect us to the Rabbeinu Shalom every day of our existence? And they were freaking out. They were literally in a state of trepidation. What's going to happen to us? Who's going to serve as the conduit between us and the Rabbeinu Shalom? You remember I told you that when Moshe spoke, even after Har Sinai, Hashem had placed his voice in Moshe's mouth. Hashem medaber mitol grono shel Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe was a continuation of Hashem's voice at Har Sinai. If he ain't coming back, how are we going to have a communication between ourselves and Hashem on an ongoing basis? Now, I think everybody in the audience listening to the shiur will come to the conclusion this is something to have a panic attack about. This is something to have literally a psychological, mental feeling of inadequacy, incapacity. People should start undergoing panic because of this. What happened? Listen to what the Beis HaLevi says. The majority of Klal Yisrael, starting from Aaron HaKohen to the overwhelming majority of the Jewish people, had no desire at this time to throw Hashem away, to throw away the teachings of Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to start worshipping an idolatrous entity called Egel Azov. If anybody to think that's what happened, is incomprehensible for you to think that way. So if that's the case, if they had no desire, the majority of the Jews, to worship idolatry, they surely were believers in Hashem. and surely believers in what Moshe stood for up until this point in time. What was the reason they went to Aaron to help them build and construct a golden calf? Where did that come from? And what was the golden calf going to be for Klal Yisrael at that specific juncture in time? So says the Beis HaLevi the following. Klal Yisrael itself, because of what they witnessed in Kriyas Yamsuf, saw something that is simply incredible, something that is unusual, something that's only seen by great Nevi'im, and that is Hashem split the Kriyas Yamsuf into 12 parts. They saw in Shemayim, above their heads, a divine chariot, was called the Maisa Merkava HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hovering over them in a control mode of the events of Kriyas Yamsuf and the protection of the Jews during that period of time. Chazal say it in a Medrash. Rashi quotes it in Chumitz. Ro Shifcha Leyan, even the Shifchas, the maidservants of the Jewish people, were able to see the Maisa Merkava of HaKadosh Baruch hovering over their heads in Shemayim as the miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf took place. Rashifcha Layan, Mashalora Yecheskel Ben Buzi. What they were able to perceive and understand from the Maisa Merkava, the spiritual level of prophetic perception that they had at that moment in time, superseded the prophetic perception of Yecheskel Ben Buzi, the great Navi Yecheskel, that in the first chapter of Sefer Yecheskel gives a prophetic description of the Maisa Merkava, the divine chariot of Hashem. And he gives it on his level, and it's described very, very explicitly in the first chapter of Yecheskel. In fact, that chapter Yecheskel is the Haftarah we read on the first day of the Yom Tov Shavuos after Kriyas HaTorah because of its importance and significance. If the Shifcha saw Klal Yisrael, saw Hashem on such a level, if Shifcha saw it, you can imagine what the Jewish people themselves were able to see when it comes to the Maisa Merkava on a higher level than Yecheskel. Now in this Maisa Merkava, says the Beis HaLevi, if we look very carefully in Tanakh, it was a four-sided Maisa Merkava. A divine chariot that had four sides. And on each and every one of the sides of this divine chariot in Shemayim, there were four different figurines. On one side you had the figurine of a human being, which later on Chazal identify as a divine figurine that looked like Yaakov Avinu. There was then on the Kisek covered on this Maisem at a cover on another side the appearance of a lion. There was then also the appearance of an Esher of an eagle. And then there was also on the fourth side an appearance of a shar of an ox. These four figurines surrounded the four sides of the Maisa Merkava. And they saw this as part of the mechanism of Hashem's divine communication and control center of what's happening here down below to the Jews at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf. Now, listen very carefully. What happened over here, according to Chazal, this is a very powerful Chazal, Klal Yisrael said to themselves, if this is a communicative device, the Maisa Merkava, that we're witnessing now on a very high prophetic level, to control and take care and to lead and to guide Klal Yisrael. Now that Moshe is no longer here to lead us, he didn't come back, maybe we should make for ourselves a microcosm of this Maisa Merkava, L'Shem Shemayim, to serve as a conduit between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're going to make it from a very precious metal, from gold, which we'll see very shortly has tremendous significance when it comes to the Mishkan itself. But we're not going to make a Maisa Merkava that has all four figurines. since we're traveling towards the north to Mekabel the Torah, we're going to look at the figurine that was on the north side of this divine chariot, and it happened to be a shor, it happened to be the ox. So they said to themselves, if we want to make now a microcosmic version of the Ma'aseh Merkava down below to serve as a conduit, as a medium of communication between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're only going to use one of the figurines to represent this microcosm of the Ma'aseh Merkava. Since we're going in the north, we're going to take the figurine of the ox, and since in Shemayim, the macro form of this is a full-fledged ox, we're going to make a micro form of the ox, and that is an eagle. An eagle is a baby ox. It's going to represent that figurine of the Ma'aseh Merkava in Shemayim. We're going to make it of a precious metal gold for reasons I'll soon explain. And based upon that, we're going to use this not to reject Hashem Chas V'Shalom or to reject Teiris Moshe Rabbeinu, but to serve as the new conduit between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu when it comes to leading us and directing us and communicating to us in our sojourn in the Midbar at this specific point in time. Let me ask you something, Tamidos. So I want you to shake your head. Does this sound that they made the Egel Azav for inappropriate purposes or for appropriate purposes? What do you say, Ruth?
Appropriate.
So it sounds appropriate. Kayla, what do you say, Kayla?
Sounds appropriate.
Sounds appropriate. Esty, you agree? Okay. So we have over here, Richard, I think you'll agree as well, we therefore have a Klal Yisrael coming to Aaron HaKohen, who was the highest spiritual essence besides Moshe Rabbeinu, who is also a prophet, older brother Moshe Rabbeinu, saying to himself, well, so I understand their panic attack. I understand their crisis spiritually. We'll help make this microcosm of this Ma'aseh Merkava, which we all witnessed spiritually, prophetically, in Kriyas Yamsuf, serve as a conduit between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So basically, most of the Jewish people, more than 98, 99% of them, their kavan in doing this was purely what? L'shem Shemayim. Now, I want to mention something quite interesting. When ultimately speaking, Klal Yisrael were told by Hashem, Asu li migdosh v'shechanti v'soicham, a pasuk in Parshas Truma. Hashem said that after Har Sinai, the divine presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ramban says that was on Har Sinai, where Hashem communicated with Klal Yisrael, there was now taken from the Har Sinai, and it was now going to inhabit the actual Mishkan which accompanied them in the Midbar. Ultimately, that Kedusha, that Shechinah of Hashem, which went from Har Sinai to the Mishkan, was later ultimately transferred to the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKadosh later on, when David and Shlomo built the Mikdash Hashem, and it was transferred to the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the Mikdash, from the Kodesh Kadoshim in the Mishkan, going back to the Kodesh Kadoshim, which Har Sinai represented at the time of Kabbalah Satera. That specific Mishkan Hashem, where did Hashem communicate with Klal Yisrael? Where did Moshe communicate with Klal Yisrael? It was from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What utensil was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? It was the Aron HaKodesh. That's the only of the utensils that was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you had the Aron HaKodesh with the Keruvim, inside with the Luchos and the Sefer Torah. And Hashem says, when I communicate to you, Moshe, henceforth, you're going to go into the Kodesh, and my voice is going to come from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, from Aron, and can come to you to communicate my messages to the Jews. And when you want to communicate the message to me, you'll come into the Kodesh and speak to me, and I'll hear it in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the medium of communication was the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but not just the Kodesh HaKadoshim. A golden vessel made with carved images, Keruvim, served as the communicative device for over 40 years between Klal Yisrael and Hashem in Klal Yisrael, and it was made of gold, pure gold. All of the holiest types of utensils in the Mikdash, the Mizbeach Hazav, the golden altar, the menorah, the Shulchan Lechem Aponim, and the Aron were all made of fine, very, very fine gold. That's what Hashem wanted, that Kelim Aveyu, that these holy Kelim, the major functionary devices of Avedas Hashem, should be made of gold. The Aron, which was the major repository of Torah, and the communicative device, was made of gold. So the Beis Halevi asks, if later on we see, Klal Yisrael did make a microcosm of a divine communicative device, and that was the Aron HaKodesh made of gold. So what was so terrible with them making an Egel Hazav made of gold to be the momentary communicative device between them and the Rabbeinu Shalom? It seems to be a duplication of the concept of the Aron HaKodesh. Why did Hashem get so angry at Klal Yisrael? What terrible thing did they do? They weren't doing this to worship the Egel Hazav. They wanted to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe wasn't there to communicate anymore. Therefore, the Aron HaKadosh was going to be first, before it was created. It was going to be a communication through another golden object, modeling it after the Meiser Mekavin Shemayim. Egel Hazav was going to represent the Shar of the Meiser Merkava to serve as a communicative device. Does this sound like Klal Yisrael acting L'Shem Shemayim, Kayla? Will Klal Yisrael acting L'Shem Shemayim?
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Yeah? What do you say, Richie?
Yes.
Sounds it? I mean, the Kavanahs will L'Shem Shemayim. What? Yeah. So the fact of the matter is, the Kavanahs seem to be L'Shem Shemayim. And Aaron HaKohen, surely, was not going to start worshipping Avodah Zarah, and he would seem to be involved in the primary manufacture. So if that's the case, why did Hashem get so angry at Klal Yisrael, Achor Anaf? Why were Klal Yisrael accused of committing Avodah Zarah? They weren't doing Avodah Zarah. They weren't worshipping another god. What's going on over here? And the Beis Halevi didn't just say it himself. He's modeling the question after the way the Kuzari, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, interpreted what they did, and how the Ramban explains what they did. Some say even the Ibn Ezra alluded to this. So if that's the case, if the Kavanahs were L'Shem Shemayim, what's going on over here? What's the terrible thing they did? And especially if Hashem finally made them make a different type of gold communicative device, at least what they did was part of the ultimate divine plan. So what went wrong over here? Everybody with me?
Yeah.
So comes along the Beis Halevi, and he said that there was one mistake that they made. And that is, they thought that to connect to Hashem, to perform mitzvahs of Hashem, to make utensils with which we perform divine worship of God, that these types of items, these types of divine service, can be divine service, even if we're the ones who initiate them, even if we're the ones who create them. Our kavod is L'Shem Shemayim. So even though Hashem was not mitzvah them to make this golden calf, they felt, since we're doing L'Shem Shemayim, Hashem will therefore allow the golden calf to serve as a medium of our communication with Shem Shemayim. Says the Beis Halevi, what Klal Yisrael did not know and understand, but was taught to them now, why is Hashem angry? Because in order for something to be called a mitzvah, for something to be a mitzvah objects, you can't make it up yourself. You can't dream it up and say, this is a great idea. What is considered a mitzvah or a mitzvah object is only one type of phenomenon. Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. What Hashem calls a mitzvah is a mitzvah. When it comes to a mitzvah object or a binyan, only what Hashem commands is a ritual object of spirituality is a mitzvah. Nothing else can be supplemented or replaced in lieu of it based upon our own genius or our own spiritual aspirations. Says the Beis HaLevi that the word Avodah Zarah doesn't only mean idolatrous objects or alternative gods, but Avodah Zarah means when we're doing a non-authorized divine worship of God by creating mitzvahs that God never commanded us, or by creating mitzvah objects that Hashem never commanded us. Doing it even with the proper kavanos, it's still considered avodah zara. Avodah means a divine service. Zara, foreign and unauthorized to worship God this way. And it's looked upon as one of the levels of avodah zara, even though we're doing it l'shem shemayim. Therefore, Hashem was angry at Klal Yisrael for devising some type of medium of communication that was never commanded to them, that was never mitzvah to them as being the official divine declared medium of communication. The Aron HaKodesh later on was commanded by God, Psukim Pashas Truma, was designated as the divine communicator between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. That gave it a mitzvah quality, gave it a din of a mitzvah object, Kasha Tiva Hashem Es Moshe, and there was no problem. By making your own, even L'Shem Shemayim, without Hashem describing you, telling you to do such, is a rebellion against the divine nature of Hashem's commandments. If Hashem doesn't command it, even though you do it L'Shem Shemayim, it's called Avodah Zarah, non-authorized divine worship of God. Am I making myself clear? Now, when Moshe came down and he saw what happened over here, he told the Rabbeinu Shalom, even though everybody was involved in the Avodah Zarah, 99% of the Jews were involved in the Avodah Zarah of non-authorized worship of God, that they were doing for what? L'shem Shemayim, to come close to you, to relate to you. Only 3,000 individuals led by the Erev Rav made the Egel Azav into what? An idolatrous golden calf as an alternative to God. So therefore, when the Chumash tells us who was killed and punished, 3,000 people who made the Egel Azav in their minds as a rebellion against Hashem and as a real idolatrous object, they were killed for Avodah Zarah. The rest of Klal Yisrael who made an unauthorized divine object for God, L'Shem Shemayim, they were spared by God. And Moshe said upon Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look at their kavanos. Ki amcha hagai hagadol hazeh. This nation which has high spiritual capacities. They heard you on Har Sinai. They had tremendous prophetic capacities. They were literally given an ability to hear you, to experience you, to have the ability to see a Maisa Merkava going across Kriyas Yamsuf. They had such Hizgalus Hashchina. Their Amcha Hagoy Hagadol Hazeh. When they made the Egozav, they made it L'Shem Shemayim. Now realizing that this is also considered a form of Avodah Zarah. Not making an idol, but connecting to God with an unauthorized medium that Hashem never gave him the permission to do. When Hashem heard Moshe justifying what Klal Yisrael did, what did Hashem say? Salachti kidavarecha. Moshe, you upketaish, you interpreted exactly what I wanted to hear from you. To Malam Eschus, that Klal Yisrael did this L'Shem Shemayim. And if that's the case, I'm giving the aslicha that since they made it L'Shem Shemayim, and they didn't mean it for Avodah Zarah Mamish, they are forgiven. But the 3,000 people, Erev Rav led, that meant L'Shem Avodah Zarah Mamish, to reject Hashem, Levi and the entire Sheva joined with Moshe to kill them, to destroy those 3,000 individuals, because they meant it as a rebellion against God. They meant it as an actual Avodah Zarah. And that's why 3,000 of 3 million were killed. The rest of Klal Yisrael was spared. Moshe was Melamed Zchus. That's why Aaron HaKohen never lost his Kohenai position. He was made a Kohen Gadol, because his Kavanah was surely L'Shem Shamayim, to relate to Hashem through the Egel Hazav. He surely was not rebelling. He was trying to make a microcosmic form of the Meisen at a cover below to connect and link to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That explains why, at the end of the day, the Dar HaDeya that saw the miracles of Har Sinai, the miracles of Kriyas Yamsuf, the miracles of the Midbar, the miracles of the Makos and Mitzrayim, never rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu according to this interpretation. What they did was L'Shem Shemayim, but they made a mistake. That L'Shem Shemayim only means Kasha Tiva Hashem Es Moshe, you can't make up of how you relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the mistake they made. But the Kavanas were L'Shem Shemayim, and they were forgiven. Salachti Kedvarecha. I want to mention something very important. When Hashem designates something as a mitzvah, there are four component parts that I want you to understand. A mitzvah, whether it's a mitzvah itself that you do, or a mitzvah object, like the Mishkan, the Kelev, or the Tefillin, or the Dalad Minim, these objects, which are called mitzvahs, have another Aramaic root, which is called the word Savata. Sadi Vav Vav Tav Aleph. Savata means companionship, connection, relationship. The mitzvah allows us to develop a relationship and a connection between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it can only accomplish that if Hashem was Metzavan authorizes this mitzvah or this object to have a linkage between us and Hashem. The second thing a mitzvah does, it sanctifies us. Every time we do a mitzvah, we say, Hashem Kedoshanu b'mitzvah. All the mitzvahs are preceded by a bracha, that the mitzvah sanctifies our spirituality, elevates us to a high spiritual plane. That's the second purpose of a mitzvah. The third purpose of a mitzvah is defined by Reb Chaim Volozhin in his famous Kabbalistic work called the Nefesh HaChaim. What Reb Chaim Volozhin says, very, very specifically, and he was the founder of the Volozhin Yeshiva that the Beis HaLevi later on became a later Rosh Yeshiva in, Reb Chaim Volozhin says, as a Talmud going back to the time of the Vilna Gaon, he says, you know something? What is the power of mitzvahs? You not only impact with the mitzvah your Kedusha, and the Kedusha of your family, and the Kedusha of your environment, your society, where you live in this world, but the mitzvahs that Jews and Jewesses do in this world impact upon the stability of the entire universe, in the solar system that Hashem created with the earth. He quotes the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says, Da malamala mimcha. Realize that what you do down here below is impacting not only what happens in the terrestrial world, but an impact upon the celestial universe that Hashem created in the 6 days of Maaseh Bereishis. When you do mitzvahs, you sanctify, you elevate, you strengthen the concept of the entire universe. That's the power of mitzvahs. And number four, they cause the reich lechoich, they show that your mavatl, your mindset, and your brains, and all of your spiritual aspirations to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he should define what's considered a mitzvah, not a mitzvah. It's not up for you to create new things that never existed before. So when you have a mitzvah object that has all these four milos, the Aron HaKodesh had all four milos when it was built, because Hashem was mitzvah. When it came, however, to the calf, the Egel Azov, Hashem was not mitzvah. It did not connect us to God. It distanced us from God. It didn't sanctify us, it contaminated us momentarily. It didn't cause a tikkun of the world around us, the universe, but it was causing a kilkel, a momentary infraction, and a weakening of the universe Hashem created. And it seemed to indicate that we think we're as smart as God, even smarter, making utensils of communication between us and Hashem, without Hashem defining them as such. This is why Hashem got angry at that time. And he had to teach Klal Yisrael a lesson, which Moshe finally taught them. That in order for something to be a mitzvah, it has to be kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. Does everybody hear what I just said? Kaylee, hear what I just said? Does this answer all the questions I posed? Esty, does it answer all the questions?
Yes.
Okay, Ruth, it answers the questions?
Yes, definitely.
Richard, does it answer the questions? Everyone is answered. So I want to come to the final piece before we end this year today. And that is why Chazal tell us, when the Mishkan and the Caleb were made, in Parshas Pekudei, you'll see next week, not this week, but the week afterwards, that after every part of the Mishkan was built, it says in the Torah, Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, over and over and over again. The one who built the Mishkan was Bezalel. He was the leading architect. Chazal said he was a spiritual ruchni genius. He was called Bezalel, Bezel Kel Hayisa. He was able to perceive things Moshe heard from Hashem, even though he wasn't there, because of his spiritual capacities. Despite his spiritual capacities, where he could have tried to enhance the Mishkan with greater spiritual devices, he didn't do such. He learned the Musa from the Chet of the Egel Hazov, has to be authorized to be able to be a divine device of Hashem, and therefore everything he made was Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. The Mishkan, therefore, was the medium of Klal Yisrael showing their recognition an understanding of the Chet of the Egel Azov, and that's why the making of the Mishkan was a kapara for the Chet of the Egel Azov. Makes sense, everybody?
Yeah.
The way the Mishkan was made was a kapara. It made sense. It demonstrated that Klal Yisrael understood the mistake they made, and they wouldn't do it anymore. Finally, when it came to the manufacture of the Aron HaKadosh, let me just mention this as my last statement in the shiur today. On top of the Aron HaKadosh, there was a golden cover. And there were keruvim, two cherubs, that were carved into it facing each other. Chazal said symbolically, one keruv represented Klal Yisrael, the other keruv represented Kavyachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were looking at each other, which means they were demonstrating that God watches Klal Yisrael Hashgacha Pratis, divine providence, on a very high level. And therefore, based upon that high level of Hashem watching us in this specific item, what do we see? Ein Hashem el Yireyav, Hashem watches those who fear and love Him. It also showed the Kruvim showing their devotion, connection to Hashem, Einei Tomid al Hashem. It showed the divine providence and connection, the Kruvim, between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there's one thing people don't know. Even though the Kruvim were facing each other, the faces of the Kruvim were facing downwards towards the top of the cover of the Aron. So they weren't looking at each other eye to eye, but they were looking downwards towards the cover of the Aron. What's that symbolism? So says the Beis HaLevi, the Keruvim looking downwards were looking not just at the cover, but what's contained under the cover. What's contained under the cover of the Aron? The Luchos HaBris, the Sefer Torah Moshe Rabbeinu wrote in the Midbar. And what was the symbolism? That for you as Klal Yisrael and Hashem to connect together, the medium of connection is one entity. The Torah Shel Bekitzav and Torah Shel Ba'al-Peh that's contained in the Lukos and contained in the Torah Shel Bekitzav, the Chumash, the Torah that Moshe wrote. If Klal Yisrael uses the Torah and its Tzivuyim as the medium to communicate to Hashem, it's kashatziva Hashem es Moshe, they'll have intense hashracha pratis. And they'll be zacha of all the brachas haksuvis v'teva. And all the promises that are made will be fulfilled. If they try to communicate to Hashem in an unauthorized fashion, no Torah shebichsav, no Torah shebapeh, and they make it up, it will cause potential destruction of the Jewish people. If that's the case, the ultimate utensil that emphasizes that the Torah is the only means to connect to Hashem, of all the utensils in the Mikdash, was the Aron HaKodesh, that was the repository of Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebapeh, and therefore that serves as the ultimate reminder to us that the only way to serve Hashem is Kasher Tziva Hashem is Moshe. You can't add, you can't detract, and that explains how that served with the Mishkan as the ultimate kapara for the Chet of Egel Hazav. Did I answer all the questions that Eitami does? Any other question I didn't answer? I think I answered them all. You have a new perspective now of what the Egel Hazav was all about, and why only the Erev Rav were punished, the rest of Klaus were saved, and are the Ama Nifcha Ad HaYom Hazeh, Ashreinu Matel Chalkeinu, that we have a Gadol like the Beis Halevi, giving us a new perception of what happened. Dama Shetosha, we now have an answer to those Apikursim, Jew and Goy over the centuries that try to criticize us for the Egel Hazav. We now have a rock solid answer, a tshuva, to tell them they don't know what they're talking about. You have a whole shiur you can give them. It's Mechazek Ramunis V'Deyos, and explains the godless of Klal Yisrael that they had even going back to the time of antiquity. Talmidim and Talmidas, think over what I said today. Have a wonderful day. Continue Master next week. Remember, we just got to do Kashativ Hashem Es Moshe. And if we have that magic that literally gives us the connective link we need for eternity to connect our Kadosh Baruch Hu, can we see him take say Teva? I'm saying this year with the Kedusha Veritzel in my body. I'm giving it over to you. Kashativ Hashem Es Moshe.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.